Well, good afternoon.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, folks. Glad to have you on Time to Love. I'm Lydia. I'm your lighthouse of love, hopefully guiding, teaching you to loving yourself. That's what my show is about. And today's topic is what love got to do with it. Yep. And my answer is absolutely everything. That's what it's got to do with every single thing. It's the creative principle on the planet. And by loving yourself, you're creating a better you. More love created on this planet is absolutely the so when we love ourselves, then we're able to love others. And we're going to change the planet. We're going to change the world. And this is what I'm all about. I'm about love, definitely. So if you think about it, when you love what you do, magic happens. Now, I'm a potter. In fact, today I'm firing 3 kilns. One is done, 2 more to go. I'm a little bit harried, but I'm going to handle it. Everything will be working well. And I love teaching pottery. I'm actually firing my students' work in these kilns. I love teaching, and my love for my students helps them to believe in them, hands in clay, and make something and feel good about it. I teach wheel work predominantly, although I've had some students this semester doing some wonderful sculpture, which I really, really appreciate. It's something that I want to do more of. And also, I love making the pottery. I love making pottery. And when people buy my pottery and they have it, they love to look at it and enjoy using it, and hopefully they can feel that love. So even on a small scale, if you love what you do, it shows. Now, I have been a waitress, and I feel there is no higher calling than serving others, and there's many ways you can serve others. I felt like waitressing is one way, and I truly love people and love to serve them. I loved bringing them nutritious food, beautiful food that would nourish them, and I felt like I was of service. I did it with lots of love in my heart. Yes, I did get tipped, but that wasn't why I was doing it so much. It helped. It helped. Anyway, I'm also was a mother, and that to me is a big service in the world, very undervalued. And it was the hardest job I've actually done is being a mom. It's not because I didn't love it. It was just that, you know, you have a child and you expect, I don't know, you have expectations, and I feel that when you have expectations and things don't turn out like it's planned, there's sometimes disappointment or you're not good enough, those type of feelings. But it taught me the most in my life. It was my hardest job, but my most rewarding, and that's definitely for sure. I've done many things. I also taught exercise, I taught training, and I loved the women who came in. It was very, very fulfilling. I gave of myself. I loved to motivate them. I loved them. I loved teaching them to love themselves and love their beautiful bodies, no matter where they were at. You know, we can be so judgmental. You know, our society holds up these images that that's the standard of beauty, a certain body image, and when we might fall short, and half of that is airbrushed, but when we fall short of that, you know, we get disappointed, and then we start hating on different body parts, thighs and butts and all of that. But really and truly, I think that's one thing I gave to my women was a sense of loving themselves and their beautiful bodies right where they were at. You know, we're so lucky to have these bodies, and most of the time they work really well, even when we abuse them. So I think that's something I gave to a lot of the women I worked with, was a new appreciation of what they had exactly where they were at. Can you make it better? Oh, yeah, definitely. And you want to make things better. You want to be a better person. But you got to start right where you're at and loving you where you're at. Knowing how to love yourself is the key, of course. It's at the very core of your well-being. Loving yourself starts with looking within and turning your attention inward and being aware of what's going on. For some people, this is very scary. In the beginning, it's kind of scary. You know, I've started looking within myself at a very early age, at 19, and, you know, I just got out of high school, and, you know, high school is a very confusing time. You've got the hormones going, you know, you've got lots going on in your mind, and to be introspective is something that doesn't happen naturally. But when I was younger, when I was in high school, I was alone a lot. And my sister went off to college, and my mom was gone a lot. And I actually spent quite a bit of time with myself. And I think that got me on the path of loving myself a lot earlier. I made peace with myself. I had to. I was alone, and, you know, yes, I had friends, but most of them had to be home. So I had to get comfortable with myself. And that's where I started exploring art, and doing drawing, and of course I read a lot, and it was very, very, a very good thing for me to be alone. A lot of people are frightened of that, but I think there's some real value in that. Now, when you're looking within, you're starting to be aware. Now, there's many paths you can go on for more awareness. For some, it may be meditation. Meditation is a wonderful tool, and there's a lot of ways to meditate. Not a big one in just sitting still and breathing. That's not a big thing for me, although I do it, and I try doing it more. But if you want to learn to meditate, there's teachers out there for everything, but there's also some amazing books. You can go on Amazon and just put in meditation or beginning meditation, and you're going to see a lot of things. I found a few books that I really like. Means to Eternal Bliss. That's the name of the book by Michael Lanford. That's for beginners. And Meditation for Beginners by Jack Kornfield. A Quiet Mind, A Beginner's Guide to Meditation. That's by Susan Piver, P-I-V-E-R. And then I've told you before that Dr. Wayne Dyer is one of my favorite writers, and he wrote Getting in the Gap, Making Conscious Contact with God Through Meditation. That's by Dr. Wayne Dyer. There's a whole list of books. Now, I still like bookstores. I still like going through bookstores because you can, you know, really look through the book. Barnes & Noble is so good about that. You know, you can... In fact, one of my favorite date nights with my husband is, you know, if we're looking for something to do, we might go to a bookstore. And we go to bookstores that are very friendly, and we sit there and we look at things. And I would suggest if you're going to try to get into meditation without a teacher, that you go to the bookstore and you look at the books, at different books, and, you know, see if it appeals to you. Now, don't get a book that you don't know anything about and maybe it's over your head or it's written in a strange way. You want to get a book that really speaks to you, especially when it comes to meditation. Now, maybe your church offers meditation. I know there's meditation groups in many churches, and I think that is a very, very good way to go. I'm really big on walking meditation. And there are books on it, although I can't even begin to pronounce the names of the people who wrote them. So I didn't write them down. But I've always walked. We didn't have a car when I grew up. So I walked everywhere. And when I was alone, I noticed that it really calmed me down. It was a very good thing for me, walking. And then I moved out west, and I had the mountains to walk in, and I had trails to walk in, and I truly connect with myself and God or love, whatever you want to call it, when I'm out hiking. Nature just really centers me and makes me more thoughtful. I can start out walking worried and anxious. As I walk, I can let things go. I walk with my dogs a lot, and as I walk, I breathe, and I just notice what comes up for me. Now, if I'm worried, I may say prayers and prayer to let it go, and I also ask for help a lot. Now, some people may not believe in a lot of this stuff, but I even just say, I need help, and I believe there's something somewhere that's going to hear that. And literally, a lot of times I will ask for help, and I get it right away. I get home, and there's a phone call, and it's just what I needed. It's really magical. I find breathing to be very helpful. Yeah, no, I'm not kidding about that. Really, I'm not. I don't feel that people breathe deeply enough or even consciously enough. Being aware of your breath is part of meditation. It's also part of yoga, of course, it's part of life. It's very important to be aware of your breath, and I think it calms you down. If you have small children, you could ask them when they're feeling kind of anxious to just take some deep breaths. You know, of course, it's good to do this before they're anxious so that they're used to this process, but to take deep breaths, and it really calms you down. And when you're calm, you're more connected to that love part of you, and I think it's very good for everybody, but especially for you. And, you know, my show is about loving yourself. Yep, loving yourself. Because I've said before, when we love ourselves, when we truly love ourselves, I think we're going to love our neighbor even more. If we don't love ourselves, it's hard to be nice to anyone. Now, yoga is good for breathing and also to becoming aware. You do slow down and exercise. You know, yoga is an exercise, and exercise is even good for you. It's good for, what's good for the body is good for the mind. Healthful food is good for the body. That's good for the mind. Exercise is good for the body, which is good for the mind. When you exercise, if you're anxious at all, it really calms you down. You know, you sleep better. It's good for you. When I taught strength training, I noticed the women I trained not breathing deeply enough. And if you ever are with a trainer, they're going to tell you to really push that breath out on the exertion point and then breathe in when you're getting back. So say you're doing, you know, a push-up. When you're pushing up, you want to breathe out. And when you're then coming back down, you want to breathe in. But when you're doing that, it's physiological as well as mentally good. And I believe then that spiritually good. So breathing out, letting that go, and then breathing in very deep. These are all ways to be kind to yourself, to help yourself. If you're quick to criticize yourself, I want you to look at this. Because when you're critical of yourself, you're also going to be pretty hypercritical of others. I've given the example before on treating yourself as you would a small child or a baby. Be gentle. You wouldn't yell at a baby. You wouldn't treat a baby poorly. So if you're thinking of yourself as a small child, and let's face it, we're all small children on this planet. We're all here to learn and grow, and we stumble and fall. We're just like brand new little babies on this planet. Now, if you do that, you're going to be more gentle. And I can't say this enough. If you're turning your awareness towards yourself, noticing your thoughts and words, and how you talk about yourself. Now, if you're just starting out with being more self-aware, you might notice that when you're talking to others? Do you say things like, I'm so stupid. What an idiot. I can't believe what a dumbass I am. Well, the first thing is to be aware of this. And then the second thing is to change it. If you have children, this can be really a great teaching moment. You can say something like, I'm so stupid, You can then tell your child, oh, look at what mommy just did. I just said that I was so stupid when all I've done is I've made a mistake. Now, that doesn't mean I'm stupid. Now, this is really giving them a teaching moment and to talk to them about this. And believe me, if you've been talking this way in front of others for a while, your children pick up on it. They have to be a little baby not to pick up on it. But my son was very aware even at 2. And I know if I was saying something like, I'm so stupid. He would notice that. And that's how our children learn, by noticing this. Even that self-criticism. In fact, I used to teach young children in kindergarten. I teach them art, and I would hear them say things like, oh, that was stupid, or I'm stupid. It really made it apparent to me that how we speak, others are also picking up on. And our children, they pick up on everything. And so for a teaching moment, I did this with my son actually when he was young, when I was trying to be less critical of myself. And even if I didn't make a mistake, or even if I didn't talk this way, I might, just for the teaching moment, say something like, oh, man, I'm stupid. And then I would tell my son, hey, mommy just said that I just called myself stupid. Now, is that fair? No, I just made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. It's not that big of a deal. So I would change it for my son, so he could see that. When we make mistakes, we're not stupid, we're just human. And that might mean we're not perfect, but nobody's perfect here. In fact, I had a wonderful time when I was talking to my son, and we were talking about our day, and he said something about not being perfect. And I looked at him and I said, mommy's not perfect either. And he said, because he still is very wise. He's a wise soul. He said to me, well, then that makes us perfect for each other. I love that. That was really one of those moments that you have. So you may explain to them about all of what's happening in your life. Like I said to my son, I said, this isn't really good. Mommy is learning that when I say these things like, I'm so stupid, but that's not very loving, and I want to be more loving to myself. So that was a great moment, and, children will learn this, and I see it all the time. I taught young people, and now I teach adults, and I hear people say things that are just so unloving about themselves. So if we want to bring that love on this planet into our lives, into our homes, we have to be aware of how we're speaking to ourselves and about ourselves. In fact, today, luckily, I'm in a Boulder Potter's Guild, and I'm firing these kilns, and I said something that wasn't very loving. And one of the women that was here glazing, she's a student, she called me out on it. She said, oh, don't say that. And I agree. I really am watching that. So I remember years ago I was in a church. In fact, churches are a wonderful place to learn more about loving ourselves, and they help many people. But I was in a church, the Church of Religious Science. It's similar to Unity and also Christian Science. And one of the exercises that we did was to just become aware of how we are talking to ourselves or about ourselves. Now, maybe you wouldn't say out loud, oh, gosh, I'm so dumb. but you might think it. So one of the exercises for a week was for us to kind of review our day, maybe at noon, you know, take a moment by ourselves, and we had a journal, and to think about how the first part of our day went, what happened during the day, you know, and it was amazing how I would think about the different things I did, the mistakes I made, and what I thought about myself or how critical I was about myself. And then at the end of the day, maybe at 6 o'clock, we would write again, just kind of review and be more aware. And the exercise of being more aware of what we were doing, and then at night we would also do this. We would write down, you know, the rest of our day. And the simple act of writing down how our day went and what was going on just made you more aware. It was amazing. And then it builds on itself. The more aware you are, then after a week of that, I didn't have to write down what was going on in my day. I actually caught myself as I said it, you know, when I said critical things about myself. And believe me, I've heard people say the meanest stuff about themselves. And, you know, and most people just accept it. They won't say to you, oh, no, don't say that about yourself. But I kept myself doing it even in stores. You know, I think I might have told you about the example of at Christmas time, I was out and I bought a gift for my husband. I was buying a gift for my husband and the cashier was checking out the woman ahead of me and made a mistake. And really, and said, oh, I am so stupid. And he said it with such force and that goes into your subconscious, people. You record that. You hear it. You feel it on some level. And you know what? It's not good. You wouldn't say that to a baby. Don't say that to yourself. Be loving and kind to yourself. You know, that self-critical part of you, you know, we learned it from somewhere. We learned it from our parents or teachers or a role model in our life, maybe a mate. But, you know, it just doesn't feel good. It doesn't help us to love more. It doesn't help us to have better lives. But definitely, loving ourselves does help us have better lives. And I see how I've learned to be more loving to myself and the impact it's made on my life and my ability to love and accept others. It's absolutely amazing how this grows. And I believe that if we're doing this, you know, on a one-to-one level, if I'm taking care of myself and really loving myself, it spreads. It's magical, definitely. I believe that we are all just doing the best that we can. And for some people, we may think, geez, they aren't doing the best that they can. But there's a lot of judgment there, a whole lot of judgment there. And do you know that for sure? Do you know their complete circumstances in this life? Well, there's a quote in the Bible. It's Matthew 7:5. I had to look it up. And I don't remember it this way, but this is the way I read it in the King James Version. It says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye." And the way I remembered it, you know, I'm not a big biblical scholar by any means, but what I noticed, what I remembered was, how can you take the sliver out of your brother's eye when you have a tree trunk in your own? Pretty wise words. So we have this thing in ourselves, you know, this self-critical part of ourselves, but yet we try to fix others. Well, if we just dang thought about ourselves and focused on ourselves and our own problems, then I think we'd be more apt to help others. In fact, I feel the best helping of others is by example. You know, when you're serving others and you're doing it with lots of love in your heart and joy, people notice. In fact, all my life I've had people tell me a long time after that they really noticed something about what I did. Maybe we had a class together. Maybe I was the teacher. Maybe I was the student. But, you know, a year later, 6 months later, 2 weeks later, whatever, people would come up to me and said, you know, I noticed your attitude. I noticed the joy in your heart. And some people wanted to know why. They wanted to know what I knew. And maybe it took them a while. Maybe it took them a couple years. Maybe it took them only a few months. But I've had people say that. So I feel that the best thing you can do is not tell someone how to be, but be that example. And if you are that example for people, you're going to touch so many lives. You know, if you tell people to love themselves, but you're not loving of yourself, they're going to know that, you know, you're just yakking. You're just talking all kinds of words. Nothing's coming out. And I really believe that we really have to be the example. Be that example. I think that that's a lot of what Jesus did. I think a lot of great teachers, that's what they do. They're the example. You know, when you think of holy men, you think of their example, what they're doing in this, on this planet. Are they teaching love? Are they showing love? I think that is really some of the most important things you can do is to be the example. Now, this week, you know, every week when I pick a topic, it's amazing what comes to me. There are so many examples that come to me, and it blows my mind. I've had people working on a lot of things. You know, February was tough. It was tough for a lot of people. Some people say it was Mercury retrograde. I don't know, but it was just tough. And even if you didn't go through anything big yourself, you know, the weather was tough in many parts of the country. Lots of cold, lots of freezing temperatures, lots and lots of snow. I have friends who, you know, I'm on Facebook a lot, and I'm going to go shovel. Oops, gotta go shovel. It seemed like that was their post every day. They were shoveling every day, lots of times a day. They got dumped on, and I'm in Colorado, and we didn't have too much snow. We had some snowy days, but it wasn't quite so bad, and we also had some amazing days. But that just made, like, we had some 50-degree days. In fact, the crocuses came out, and I always tell my husband when the crocuses are out, that means we're going to get a snow. Sure enough, last Saturday, we went out for a hike. I saw crocuses. I even took pictures of them. And the next day, there was snow. So then we had 50 degrees yesterday. And today, woke up to, it was snowing quite a bit. There's a couple inches of snow. They had me get my kiln on later than I wanted. I'm not even sure why I'm talking about this. Oh, I know. So, you know, things just were maybe a little more depressing than usual. So I really got some good lessons about loving myself. Can I love myself when the weather's bad, when I'm not feeling like, you know, I can, you know, it just helps me to get outside, and the sun shining really helps me. So when we have the gray days or the snowy days or the cold days, you know, am I able to show that love? I've been practicing this a long time, and usually I can. Usually I can cheer myself up with something. I have lots to do. I go into my studio. I love that. You know, that's another loving thing you can do for yourself. Find something that just makes you excited, excited to get up, excited to finish off work if you're working a 9-to-5 job and you go take a class and you do something that you love. If you're excited about it, it's just about life, it's easier to love yourself, I think. When you're in that gray mode and the cold and all that, it's harder. It is. I'm not saying that it's easy. It's harder. It takes more practice. I've had much practice on all of this. And that's why, even though I'm still learning, I'd like to say I've learned it all. I'd like to say that I know everything there is to know about loving yourself, but I really don't. I'm going to be completely honest with you. And that's one of the reasons I want to teach it. They do say that you teach best what you need to learn, and so that's why I'm here, folks. Last Saturday I took off, but I'm back, and I will be back every Saturday, learning along with you and teaching you. So this month was a hard month for quite a few of us, and it was hard to learn to love ourselves. And it made me more critical of others. In fact, there was a test for me, and it started off, I'm not going to mention names or any situations, but it started off with someone not being very loving and me reacting to it really bad. It made me very angry. Yes, folks, I'm still human. I still feel lots of anger at times. And I was feeling very, very angry. And luckily, I was with someone, you know, my friends and family, and even strangers sometimes put me on a good path. Anyway, I was ready to, I was ready to scream at this person. Now, luckily, they got out of my line of fire, and they were gone, but I was angry. I was really worked up, and someone I was with told me something very, very wise, and they said to me, "You know, that person is just doing the best that they can." It had the ring of truth for me, and I realized it was a stressful situation, and that person was really only doing the best that they can. They reacted to it differently. They reacted to it very negatively, but that was that person's truth. And my truth is to love people, and so I really had to look at that. It made me go quiet within. When she said that, I realized it was the truth. And so I got kind of quiet, and I realized they were definitely speaking the truth to me. And so I forgave that person in my mind, and I let it go. You know, there's nothing like telling your friends all about what happened and how it made you angry and working yourself up into such a lather. Now, it may be a coworker, it may be a mate, it may be a child, it may be a stranger. But, you know, you tell someone, you tell the story. You know, we all have our stories, and it's all our perceptions. And so we tell the story. I might tell a friend, "Oh, blah, 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 this person made me so angry when they did this and that, and they said this and that. And then I'm just angry all over again, and I can't get to that loving part of myself." But when this other person, my friend, told me the truth, that the person I was angry at was just doing the best they can, I just let it go. I didn't have to tell that story. I told the story a few times, but it was just to make the point of being more loving. And when I let it go, it was pretty amazing what happened. The very next day, I saw that person, and that person came to me and apologized. Whew, pretty amazed at that. I think that's part of the magic of love, is that amazing things happen. And this person, I hadn't known to be that aware to apologize for something they did. But they came to me, and they apologized. And I looked at them, and I said what my friend said to me. I said, "You know, we're all just doing the best that we can." And they got it. They got that I forgave them and that we were on good terms. You know, I find that the stress that we have, a lot of times in stressful situations, I find family gatherings, oh my God, family gatherings, I don't know any family that is completely functional. I think that we're all a little dysfunctional, but one of my favorites is by Mary Engelbreit. I love her. She's an amazing artist. And she has a card that says, "Let's put the fun back in dysfunctional." I love that. And I find that, you know, to laugh at the people in your family or your coworkers that are dysfunctional, you know, to just make it fun. You know, it's such a burden to carry around anger in your life. And so, you know, forgiveness is a big part of being more loving and letting things go. And that's part of forgiving. You know you've forgiven when you let things go. And you don't have to tell everybody, oh, Mary did such a slight to me. Or, you know, Joe, he said this about me. But when you let it go, I had a coworker one time say something to me, and oh, was I angry. I let him have it too, and that worked in that situation. And he apologized, but he said something about my weight, and it was really none of his business, really, about my weight, and it was way out of line. And I knew that this coworker really, really cared about me, and when he saw how upset I got, he was very, very he was contrite and did apologize. But I find that if you just let it go, you know, maybe you don't know about other people. I was in the car. I was giving a ride to a friend's daughter. And we pulled up to a light, and there was a man standing with a sign begging for money. And she said something that she probably heard before. I don't know if she heard it from her parents or grandparents or who knows, another person at school, and she said that person should get a job. And I had a brother who was he had some mental problems, and this was before the big cuts in mental health areas. And I looked at her and I said, "You just don't know where that person's come from." Now this is a young person; she's a child still. And she has a family that loves her. And in her mind, she cannot conceive of a person that has no family. But many of our homeless have no family. Or they might have burned that bridge. Maybe they've been messed up on drugs or alcohol for so long, and family finally had to cut ties. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I understand that. But when you have no support system, and you have mental problems, it's so hard to make it in this world. And yes, people with signs, sometimes they go and they buy alcohol. We might think if we're hardworking that that's just squandering money, that that's a waste, that those people are a waste. But we do not know where they have come from and what they have been through. And I really, really feel strongly in my heart that it's better not to judge. You don't have to give them money. Now, that's what I told my little friend. I actually talked to her. I told her about my brother. He was taken care of. He was a vet, and he was all messed up. And he wasn't an alcoholic, but he was a sad, sad, depressed person, and probably depressed before he even went into the Army and fought in the war. But he had an apartment, but he didn't eat, and he ended up dying from malnutrition. Pneumonia killed him, but he didn't eat, and he got down to very, very low weight, and then he succumbed to a bad infection, some cold, and got pneumonia and died. And I just think that we have to be careful about how we judge others. That's the most extreme case I know. And like I said, you don't have to give them money, but you can look them in the eye and smile. I one time got to know some homeless men, and they were wonderful men. They had both fought in Vietnam, and one had some severe mental problems, and the other had quite some mental problems, and he drank to forget or numb himself. And see them in the morning, and I would always ask them if they had something to eat. And I just made eye contact. And, you know, the first day I talked to them, they said to me, you know, thank you so much for talking to us. They said, most people won't even look us in the eye. Oh, that was such an impression. So now when I see people with signs, I don't often give them money. I don't often, sometimes I do. Sometimes something just moves me. If I have a dollar in my purse or some change lying around in the car, I'll hand it to them. But sometimes I don't give them money, but I always look at them in the eye and I smile and acknowledge that they are human beings on the planet. So that's a big, you know, severe case scenario, but, you know, more and more there are people that are standing on street corners, and like I said, you don't have to give them money, you don't have to condone them, but until you've walked in their shoes, you just don't know where they've come from, and I think that is important to acknowledge them and to realize that you don't know, you know. That, I'm not saying there aren't mean people in the world. I'm sure there's mean people, terrible people in the world. I just don't know any of them, and they're not in my life, thank God. So I believe a little kindness goes a long way, and to realize that people are basically doing the best they can. You know, people standing on the streets with signs, they're not really hurting anyone. They mostly hurt themselves. And that comes from a place of not loving. But if you look at them and you smile, and, you know, a lot of times if it's cold out, my window isn't down, and so I shake my head no and might shrug my shoulders, sorry. And they smile back because I've at least acknowledged that they're human beings, that they're here on the planet. So that's just who I am, and it works for me. Now, loving ourselves more, I touched on forgiveness. You know, when I make a mistake, instead of saying how stupid I am, I just really, it's like, okay, I made a mistake. This morning, I made a bunch of mistakes. I had a student with me who's really wanting to learn how to fire the kilns, and so I met him at the guild, and I must have made, I bet I made the morning. Here I am, the teacher. And I said, I laughed at it, and I just said, you know, it must be I didn't have my coffee. I don't know what's going on with me today, but, you know, at least I'm showing you not what to do, you know, what to do by not doing it right. Anyway, I had to laugh at myself, and I love myself through the process. Now, same with the show today. The show, I'm just rambling, I'm talking, and I'm just a little probably preoccupied with the kilns going on. A lot of times on Saturdays, I really sit with myself and I have a lot of time to contemplate, but this Saturday was the exception. But am I going to be mad at myself? Nah, life's too short. I'm going to forgive it and let go of it and move on. Now, forgiving others for great wrongs, it's a little bit harder to do. And I have to tell you that I constantly work on forgiving my father. I'm not going to tell you all the wrongs that he did, but he did the best he could. I have to say, I just didn't know him very well. I didn't understand where he was coming from. And it has taken me years and years to get to a place of forgiveness. But holding that hatred, that anger in my heart, does not help me at all. And that's the part of forgiving. It's not that you condone what someone has done to you, but that you are forgiving and letting go so that you're able to be free, to be free of that. And when you're free of that anger and the hurt and the pain, it's easier to love yourself and then therefore to love others. And that's what love has to do with it. You know, love is the answer to almost every single problem that I have. And maybe you have a problem that isn't about love. I'd love for you to call me. If you want to call, you can call area code 646-727-2914. I'd love to hear your call. And maybe you have a question for me. Maybe you have a situation. And maybe I'll be proven wrong about love, but I believe that's what love has to do with it. Love has to do with absolutely everything. And then there's another song that came to my mind, and once I understand this whole radio thing a little bit better and how to do audio clips, I'll figure it out someday, folks. And until then, I'm going to forgive myself for not knowing. But so I thought of, what's love got to do with it? And then I thought of, all you need is love. Ba-ba-da-da-da. All you need is love. Da-da-da-da-da. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. Yep, the Beatles were wise. In fact, a friend of mine put on Facebook the top 12 albums that made a difference in your life. And I think the top 8 albums were all Beatles albums for me. They really, and that song, All You Need Is Love, it just came at a time in my life where I knew that was true. So if you have you can friend me on Facebook. I'm on Time to Love. You can message me and say, you know, how would love pertain to this situation? Now, maybe you have a coworker or a boss that absolutely irks you, that just makes you want to pull your hair out, and you're constantly telling the story to everyone who will listen how your boss or coworker makes your life a living hell on earth. Every day you're working with them, you want to scream. I've been in that situation. I have been in that situation, and what I found worked for me was love. Loving them, noticing the good that they do. How many times when we're up against someone that's difficult, that's all we notice about them. We don't notice anything else. And, you know, there's most likely it's a mirror, folks. I found that those difficult people are mirroring stuff in ourselves that we just absolutely can't stand to look at. So they're acting it out, and it's a wonderful experience when you realize this and you can look at them and you can say, you know, maybe they're full of themselves. You know, maybe all they do is talk about themselves. And you got to sit with that and you got to look at yourself and say, whoa, do I do that? And it's pretty humbling to realize that, you know, you're not perfect either, that maybe you're a bit full of yourself too. You know, we all are. I can certainly be. In fact, one of my biggest lessons in this life is to listen to others. You know, not with judgment, but just listen to others. You know, when I have a difficult coworker, I had a difficult coworker in my last job, my 9-to-5 job. And she was really difficult, and she didn't want to be wrong about anything. In fact, I was her superior, and I had to talk with her. And when I talked to her about some things that I felt she could improve on, she did not like that. And she actually, I know she felt really bad. And so she basically wouldn't even hear of it. Well, I didn't do that, or I don't do that. I mean, she made all kinds of excuses for herself. And I actually had to look at how I do that in my own life. And how it's hard to hear criticism. It's hard to hear how you can improve, especially when you feel like you're doing the best you can. And one thing I will say about this woman, she did the best she could. And it was a little bit over the top. In fact, we had to greet customers, and I let the people get through the door before I greeted them, and she would almost run right up to them and greet them. And I could see in their faces, some people loved it, and some people were a little taken aback by it. And, it, you know, we just had our two different styles. She was a very good coworker, but when I talked to her and she got so defensive, I had to look at how I get defensive with criticism, how I feel like I'm doing the best that I can, and if someone might say something that I'm not or point out how I didn't, you know, I missed this one little aspect, how defensive I got and get. And, you know, when I saw that within myself, I actually started loving this person more. And she turned around, and I have to say, she was absolutely delightful. Intelligent. Oh, my gosh. This woman was so intelligent, and she worked so hard, and I truly loved her. And it turned it around. And I think, you know, she was conscious enough to realize what was going on, and she picked up on my love, and we became friends. We became good friends, and that's happened more than once. In fact, quite a few years ago, I worked with a woman, and I think she was a little taken back with who I was and how outgoing I was and how people enjoyed me, and she didn't like it, and she was my superior, and she was so rude to me. It was a little bit scary, and I turned it around by loving her more and also seeing some of those behaviors in myself. Now, I have a caller, 224, and I'm going to bring up this caller. Hello, 224. Area code 224. Are you on the air? Hello? Can I not hear you? Oh, bummer. Am I talking to myself again? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this, 224? Area code 224?
Is Lydia around?
Yes, I am. This is Lydia.
Aquat?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
It doesn't sound like you. It's Julie.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Are you hearing me well? Or you're not
hearing
me?
No, not at all.
You're not hearing me at all.
No, I don't hear her at all. I hear you.
That's me. I'm Lydia.
Wow, it doesn't sound like you. How are you?
I'm good. That doesn't sound like you either.
I know. It must be telephone state to state. I love the program. It sounds so cute and very you.
You, I must say, Julie. Folks, you don't know Julie. Julie's my friend from grade school. We go way back. And,
now that part, now that sounds like you.
Now Julie is.
We go back way, many, many moons, as they would say.
Oh, they do. They say that.
Yes.
And Julie is one of the most loving people that I know. And has this resonated with you at all, Julie?
You know, is she online too, or just you?
No,
it's confusing,
me.
But. Well, I do love the program, and I miss you a lot. It is so nice, warm, and heartfelt, and all the fun things that you're trying to make the world happier and loving and good and organic.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Now, do you have anybody in your life that you need to love more or any situation that you can't
No,
think
I'm just
of?
Very fortunate to have very best friends from all different colors, shapes, sizes, men and women, young and old. And
yeah,
I do. I'm really blessed to be a helper for many senior people, helper to friends and sisters who need extra bonus hugs these days.
Exactly. In fact, Julie was, a little history, Julie was a very loving presence to my mom.
Yes, we miss you too. I wish you'd come back to Chicago more often. I need to come visit you in Colorado.
Yes, you do. Now, I have another caller. You can stay on the line, or do you want me to put you on?
Go ahead. No, no, I'll listen. You call. Talk to you soon, babe. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, I'm going to bring up area code 780. 780, did you want to say anything, or are you just wanting to listen?
Well, I'm just listening this afternoon, Lydia, because I just joined you, but it's Nina.
Oh. Hi, Nina. How are you?
I'm good, honey. How are you?
I'm most excellent. And another person calling that is just a love light, shining love on the planet. She is my good friend up in Canada, and I love you, Nina. You just started listening, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was just talking about loving more, of course, and my theme for today is, what's love got to do with it? And my answer is absolutely everything. So
that would have been my answer, too.
I know that. But I was talking about some of the situations I've been in where I'm dealing with difficult people and how loving them or looking at my own stuff made me love them more and change the whole situation. Now, it doesn't, some people, you know, they're just not ready for that love, and that you might have to get them out of your life. But some people, loving them more and accepting them is, it can change the whole situation. Have you seen that too?
Oh, of course I have. And dealing with children over many, many years that I have, you give an obstinate child more love and they're going to turn that situation around.
Yeah. And also modeling things. I was talking in the very beginning about how sometimes we can be so self-critical. Like, we'll make a mistake and we'll say something like, oh, I'm so stupid. When you're not stupid, you just made a mistake. But I did something with my son. You know, I was working on not being so critical of myself. And so I don't even think I made a mistake, but I pretended to make a mistake and I said something like, oh, I'm so stupid. And then I said, you know, Pat, I said, I'm trying to work on this. You know, Mommy just said something that's not true. I'm not stupid. I just made a mistake. And everyone makes a mistake. You know, have you, in your years of childcare, have you come across kids and you know that they're modeling their parents' behavior, but they'll do something, maybe they'll draw out of the line or whatever, and you hear them say, oh, I'm so stupid. Or I'm dumb. Have you ever heard that from a kid?
Not so much about themselves, but saying it to another child, sure.
Yeah. But I actually have heard other kids say that about themselves. And, you know, I immediately get a hit that they've heard their parents say it. Because kids aren't going to say that about themselves without hearing somebody say it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, generally about hearing somebody say it. I've heard them say, basically when I'm doing homework with the kids, I can't get this, I'm really stupid. And I'll look at them and I'll say, no, you're not. You're just not understanding what's going on right now. That doesn't make you stupid. That just means you don't have the skills so far to be able to do this. But you can get those skills.
Exactly. So I was talking about reframing. That's beautiful, Nina. You know, we all know, you know, all your friends know what you do for these kids. You know, you're a great loving example in their life. And, you know, Nina does Reiki. She's a Reiki master. And she, you know, she knows about working with energies and loving kids and loving herself, too. But, you know, I don't know about you, Nina, but I was saying I'm not there yet. I still, you know, I love myself, but I'm not quite perfect yet. Jeez, oh God.
No. No, there's lots of work yet to be done on that part of it. Others, that comes so easy. But I think loving yourself, I think that's the last thing most people do. And it's really unfortunate because I think if we start putting ourselves first for a change, I think the love just shines even brighter.
Well, and that's my whole concept. My whole concept is what Jesus said. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. So when you don't really love yourself, you're not really, if you're really super critical of yourself, you're going to look over in that neighbor's yard and you're going to go, well, I wish they did this. Or, oh, geez, it's been 2 minutes and they haven't gotten out and shoveled their walk yet. I've already done mine, you know. I mean, you're going to be more critical, but if you're loving, hey, this morning we actually had several inches of snow. Yesterday was 50, today was snow. Go figure, it's Colorado in the winter. And my neighbor, we were warming up our cars and scraping them, and I was in a hurry to get over to the kiln to start firing my kilns. And my neighbor, I noticed she shoveled part of my walk. But she's a very loving woman. And I'm going to go back, and if her walk isn't shoveled, I'm going to go shovel some of her walk. And that's what you do when you're loving yourself more, then you're more apt to love your neighbor. You know?
Yeah, that's true. It's too darn cold to shovel today.
Oh, I know. Guess where our Arctic cold came from, Nina?
I imagine it came from Alberta.
I'm sure it did. It looked like that was, it said, and Canada has a cold front, and it's moving down, and then all the rain that's coming from the West Coast moved in, and so we got the cold and the rain, which makes snow. Thank you, Nina. Thanks for
You're
sharing.
Welcome. I love to share.
I bet you do. You'd like to get rid of it, is what you'd like to do.
Oh, yeah, with the wind chill, it's minus 30 here, so yes, definitely we need to get rid of it.
Yeah, it's probably in the 20s here today, but I'm outside a lot firing the kilns. But I do want to say that I really appreciate you calling and my friend also, Julie, that called. We're out of time, so I'm going to end this show, and I'm thanking everybody that's going to listen to the archives and that listened. And, Nina, thanks for calling in. I feel your love from 1,000 miles away. Oh, you're not quite 1,000. Are you about 800 or 600? 600, I think.
I
remember.
Yeah.
I've flown up there. Yeah, it's not real far. It's not as far as Chicago, I don't think. But anyway.
No, not quite.
Thanks so much for loving and supporting me. I really appreciate it. And until next week, I will see everybody or hear everybody or think of everybody throughout the week. And we're going to talk some more about loving yourself, because that's really what it's all about. So if you ask yourself, what's love got to do with it, then answer yourself and say absolutely everything. Now, go through the week loving yourself more. And until next Saturday, I'm going to send you all my light and love. Thanks, Nina.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, honey. Talk to you.
You bet.
Bye.